Genesis chapter 4, I'd like to read verses 1 to 13. Reading from verse 1, it says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the field of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstling of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy land. And when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond thou shalt be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. And we'll open our service in a word of prayer. Father, we give you thanks for the day. And Lord, as we come aside now, just for this short time, I pray that your word will be alive for us, that you will teach us your ways, help us to give the respect to your word that it deserves. And Lord, we ask for your will to be done in our heart and life this night. Amen. Well, in our reading in Genesis, we have one of the most well-known stories in the Bible. Most people have heard the story of Cain and Abel. Even if you don't go to church, most people have heard of Cain and Abel in one way or another. They may not know all the details, but they've heard of Cain and Abel. And we read here how God accepted Abel's sacrifice, basically because it was a blood sacrifice. Its blood was shed as he made an offering to the Lord, and that's how God wanted offerings to him, because it was to be a picture of how his son would come and shed his blood for all mankind. But we see that God didn't accept Cain's offering because there was no blood. And it says in verse 5 that because of this, Cain was very wroth. And so he would have been very wroth with God, and it appears that he was angry with his brother Abel as well. I'm not sure why he was upset with Abel. Abel didn't trick him into making this sacrifice. He didn't convince him to do it. But Cain was still angry with his brother. And from this anger came jealousy. And Cain became jealous of his brother to the extent that he couldn't stand him any longer, and he despised him. And he saw no other way to be able to live life other than making sure that Abel wasn't in his life anymore. And so he thought he would get rid of his brother. And so it says there in verse 8 that Cain rose up against his brother and slew him. And so Cain got rid of this little, little goody two-shoes brother. I was going to get that wrong if I didn't read it. But he got rid of his little goody two-shoes brother. And I'm sure he thought all of his troubles were over once he got rid of Abel. No more Abel to annoy him. No more Abel to show him up. No more Abel to compete with. And because he did it when no one was around in the field, I'm sure he thought he got away with it as well. That was until the Lord confronted him. And I'm sure he didn't think that he was going to have to explain his actions to the Lord. But we read there in verses 9 and 10 this, if you're still there. I'm not. It says there in verses 9 and 10, "And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And then the Lord said, what hast thou done?" That's the question that he asks him. The Lord came to Cain. The Lord asked him a question, and that is, what hast thou done, Cain? And that day, Cain had to give an account of his actions, something I'm sure he didn't even consider before or after killing his brother. The fact that God was going to ask him to give an account of what he had done. Cain obviously hadn't repented of what he had done because he first of all told a lie to the Lord. I don't know. I don't know where he is. And then he lied to him. He denied he knew anything of it. He certainly didn't want to take responsibility for his actions. But God knew the truth. God knew what happened, and Cain was judged accordingly, if we were to read on. But I find it interesting that God came and asked Cain what he had done. God knew what he had done. God saw it all. But he still wanted Cain to have to give an account of his own actions. And I believe that's God's attitude towards each one of us. God expects people to give an account of their own actions. He may know already what we've done, but we need to tell him. We will all have to tell him one day. And this is a question I believe God is going to ask every person that's ever lived upon the face of this earth one day, and that is, what hast thou done? One day you and I are going to stand before the Lord, and the Lord's going to say to us, what have you done with everything I've given you? And we're going to have to give an account of our actions to the Lord. And one thing I've learnt about humans is most of us don't like accountability. We don't like to have to give an account. We don't like to be responsible for the way that we've acted. Somebody kills someone. Not many say, yes, I'm guilty and I'm accountable. It's all my fault. Generally, people want to blame somebody else. It's not my fault. You know, I was insane when I did it. Or it's not my fault. My parents treated me a certain way and they made me what I am. But it's not my fault. They don't want to take responsibility for their actions. Someone decides to go drinking, then they drive, they have an accident, they kill someone, but it's not their fault. It's the alcohol's fault. It's not theirs. Someone gets caught speeding. Well, it's not their fault. It's the car. The car just goes so fast these days, it doesn't feel like you're speeding. Or the signs, they didn't tell me what speed I was meant to be going. It's certainly not my fault. Everyone, or most people, like to try and shift the blame onto somebody else. But the reality is, freedom brings accountability. We need to accept that. Freedom brings accountability. You have the freedom, or if you have the freedom to drive, well, then you're accountable for how you drive. If you have the freedom to have a gun, you're accountable for where those bullets go. And you're accountable to who gets hold of that gun as well. You have the freedom to speak. Well, then you're accountable for your words. And it can go on to every liberty that someone enjoys. The more freedoms and privileges somebody has, the more accountability you have. Now, that is one of the good things about living at home. You know, when you live at home, you may not have as much freedom, but you're not as accountable as well. The reality is your parents are accountable for many of your actions. They're the ones that have to give an account. So if you are living at home, there are benefits. But when you leave home, yes, you gain a lot of freedom. You have the freedom to live where you want. You have the freedom to go where you want. You have the freedom to live how you want as well. But as well as this new freedom comes greater accountability. And that's the part that a lot of young people or those ones that are up and leaving home don't like to consider. That freedom brings accountability. People want all the freedom but no accountability. They want the freedom to do as they will, to leave home and act as they want, but if something goes wrong, they want somebody else to take the blame for it. They want someone else to pay for it. They want someone else to come up and clean up all the mess. And you have some young people, they want to leave home so they don't have to, so they can have the freedom, but they want their parents to still run them around everywhere. They want their parents to pay the bills for them. They want the parents to come and pick up the pieces after they've made a mess of their life. They even want their parents to take on the responsibility or the blame for the how they ended up. We live in a society where people don't want to be responsible for their actions. But as you get older, you soon realize that in life it doesn't work that way. The more freedoms you enjoy, the more privileges you receive, the more accountable you are. And so, you need to act accordingly. And in God's eyes, the same thing happens. Every freedom that we enjoy, every privilege that we have, God will hold us accountable for it. And that's something we don't like to think about. That we're going to have to give an account of our actions, just like Cain had to as well. He had the freedom to go out into the fields that day. He had the freedom or the free will to be able to strike his brother with whatever instrument he did. But he also had to give an account for his actions. And God judged him accordingly. Now, if you turn over to Matthew chapter 25, the Lord himself gives us a picture of the accountability that we have in the Lord with the story that he told. We're blending two stories tonight from the Word of God, the one of Cain and Abel and the one that we have here in Matthew 25. Let me read verses 14 to 18 first of all. This is Jesus trying to describe what the kingdom of heaven is like. And he said in verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man travelling into a far country, who calleth his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had 2 received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money." So here Jesus says, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like a master who goes away into a far country, but before he leaves, he calls his servants and he gives them his goods. They are able to use his resources. And he also gives these 3 servants of his talents or money. He gives 5 talents to one, 2 talents to another, and 1 talent to another. And he then expects his servants to make money and further his kingdom while he is away. And the Lord told this story to show us a picture that he's done for us. All of us are his servants, if we call ourselves a Christian. And our Savior has gone away for a time. He's been gone away for a fair while, actually. And while he's away, he's given us the responsibility of increasing his kingdom. Now, our responsibility isn't to make lots of money for him. Money's nothing to him. The only thing that is most precious to him are souls. People coming to know him as their Lord and Saviour. We have the responsibility to increase His kingdom in this manner and to use what He has given us to increase this kingdom. And He's given us all that we need. He's given us His goods to use. Now, we're told in the Word of God that every good thing is from our Heavenly Father. You know, we live in a country that is filled with good things. We can just say it's the lucky country. We just so happen to get this by luck. Or we can go by the Word of God and say, hey, this is a blessing from God. But God wants us to use it for His glory. If we have freedom of religion, freedom to speak, freedom to come and worship, God says, use that for My kingdom's sake. We also know that He's given us talents, natural abilities that we've had from birth. Things that we would have had regardless if we got saved or not. And there are wonderful natural abilities that people have. And it can vary from music ability to drawing to just, I haven't really thought it out, but I tell you what, there are a lot of people that have wonderful abilities. And then we're told that we're given spiritual gifts as well that are given at salvation. Things where the Lord endows us with special gifts to be able to use also to further His kingdom. And so He's given us all that we need. But He's also given us the choice to use what He's given us or not to. He hasn't made us robots. We don't have to use these for His glory. We aren't sort of made to do it. He's given us the free will to do it or not. Just like the master in Jesus' story. They had the free will to use what He had given them as they saw fit. And as we read one, or as we read on, we see that two of these men used what they had to gain more for their master. They used their talents that they were given and put it to work. And they conscientiously served their master. While one, on the other hand, just buried and didn't increase his master's kingdom with that talent. We're told that he was afraid to take a risk. Probably more likely he was too lazy. And so he just hid his talent and didn't use it. And you know, most believers fall into one of these two categories when it comes to the talents and the gifts and the blessings that God has given us. Some use what God has given them. They find out what their spiritual gifts are and they use it for the glory of the Lord. They recognize the natural talents that they have been given of the Lord, and they use that for the Lord's glory as well. In fact, they use everything that God has given them, and they see it as an opportunity or a way to be able to further the kingdom of God in one way or another. While others don't use what the Lord has given them. Maybe they're too afraid to use what the Lord has given them. Afraid they may do a bad job, so they just decide never to do it. I'd like to get up and share something at church one day, but I think I may do a bad job, so I'm not willing to take the risk. You know, that's what I always felt like. I was petrified to get up and do anything up the front. And so I could have been a 46-year-old sitting in the pew thinking, I wonder what I would have been like if I got up the front. But I'm too scared to even try. But I felt like the Lord wanted me to at least get up the front and see if there were gifts there. And I've known many that have done the same, and there have been no gifts there, but at least they decided to see. And it could be something else, some other spiritual gifts or talents that the Lord has given, but some are just too afraid. Too afraid they may be laughed at. Or maybe they're just too lazy to use what God's given them. But some people hide their gifts and talents and never use it. You know, when I was thinking about this, there is one other thing that these servants in the story that the Lord Jesus could have done. They could have used them, yes, and some did. They could have not used them and hid it, but they could have taken the money and spent it on themselves. Have you ever thought that? Wow, I got these couple of talents, this money, I don't know what they're actually equated to. I'm going to go and live it up. Who knows? The master may never come anyway. I'm going to use this money and enjoy life to its full while I have this money. They could have used it for themselves. Now, they didn't. They were smart, at least in that way. Imagine them turning up. You got one that used it, made more. Others, I hid it. And then the next one says, oh, where's that talent? Oh, I actually just spent it. I spent it on myself. Now, I'd hate to think what would have been the outcome of that one. But sadly, there are many Christians, and that's how they use what God's given them. They take the blessings of the Lord, and they forget about Him. They don't use it for them. For Him, they enjoy those things for themselves. You see, money is a blessing from God. Many, though, just use it on themselves, and they don't think about God at all when it comes to their money. The reality is, time is a gift from God. The time that we have on this earth is a gift. Some want to use it all for themselves. And when it comes to serving the Lord and furthering His kingdom, God, I haven't got any time to give back to You. All that time You gave me, I want to spend on myself. You know, even our houses. You know, if you've got a house, which I'm pretty sure all of you do have, you live somewhere. I don't think any of us are living in the street or under a tree somewhere. But that place where God has given you, you know, that can be used by the Lord as well. I know some people that won't have anyone over because they're afraid that their walls might get scratched. Or having the youth over at their place, no way, they may break something or scratch something. There's no way I'm going to use my house for that sort of thing. People want to just use what they have for themselves often. You know, you may have a wonderful talent with an instrument, but do you just want to play it at home? Just enjoy what God's given you for yourself? Or do you want to use it to further His kingdom? Maybe you have a gift in being a gift of helps and being that handyman type of person. And you can do all these little things for your own little projects. But do you want to use that for the Lord's work? It could be it's limitless. But many times we have natural abilities, but we just want to enjoy them for ourselves. Even spiritual gifts that God's given us. Maybe someone has a spiritual gift to teach, but they use it to teach in many other ways, but not when it comes to furthering the kingdom, or gifts of helps, or gifts of serving. But they use these ways in any other way but for the Lord. Well, you know, that's a scary place to be. Because as we read on, there is accountability for everything God's given us. And if someone wanted to come to the front, maybe it was an escapee of the crash. Sorry, the door opened there. On my report cards at school, generally had easily distracted. All right, it hasn't changed. I'm easily distracted. I'm back on track now. What were we saying? Let's go to verse 19. All right? Verse 19. This is the story, the Lord Jesus. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. The word reckoneth means to give an account. And so Jesus says, with this master who left his servants to occupy and further his kingdom after a long time. And so they may have got to the point where they're thinking, he's never coming back. Am I doing all this in vain? While the one that's sitting there, having hid his talents, thinking, what? I think this is a good idea. I don't think he's even going to come back anyway. So I don't actually have to do anything. I'm just sitting on this thing just in case. But after a long time he comes, and he reckoneth, all right? He brings them to him and they have to give an account. Just like we will one day to the Lord. And in verses 20 and 22, we see that the two faithful servants show their Lord the increase. And he says there in verse 23, the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. They received the well done, thou good and faithful servant. But when it was time for the servant to give an account of what he had done with his talent, who had hid it, it says, verse 25, I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And so, when he had to give an account, this servant, he says, I'm afraid, so I did nothing. And we learned that he was judged accordingly. But all had to give an account. Let's remember, Jesus isn't just telling a little story just to make them feel good. He's saying this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. He's doing this to remind believers, those disciples of him, I'm leaving you, but I will come back, and when I come back, you will have to give an account. I'm going to ask you, what hast thou done? Now, we read a very similar thing in Romans, if you'd like to turn there. In Romans, talking about how we shouldn't be judging one another and how we're going to have to give an account, it says there in Romans chapter 14, verse 12, these very sobering words, so then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Every one of us. I wonder how often you stop and consider that. Do you know God gave you a life? So he's going to hold you accountable for what you did in your life. He gave you a free will to choose. So he's going to hold you accountable for that. He gave you the freedom to serve him or just worry about yourself. You're going to have to give an account for that as well. One day the Lord will say to all of us, what hast thou done? The voice I gave you, how have you used it? The ears and the ability to listen that I gave you, what have you listened to? The eyes that I gave you, what have you used them to look at? Your body that I gave you, how have you used your body? The money that I gave you, how have you spent it? The time I gave you, how have you spent that? The friends that I gave you, how have you treated them? The children I gave you, how have you raised them? With all the blessings and freedoms that we have, God will ask us to give an account. And it says here, every one of us will have to give an account. We don't get out of it. You can't dodge God. All of us. We all have an appointment where we will have to give an account. Also says we'll have to give an account. Each person will give an account of themselves. We're not able to blame others and say, oh yeah, but they, God's going to say, I'm not worried about them, it's you now. We have to give an account of ourselves. That's why we should learn to take responsibility for our own actions, because ultimately we're going to be accountable for them. And notice it's made to God. That means we can't lie, we can't get away with it. Cain tried that. The Lord said, what hast thou done? Where's your brother? I don't know. God knew he knew. He couldn't say, okay, well, next question. No, God knew the truth. You know, one thing you find when you have children is you ask your children something and they're very good at being evasive, where they don't have to give the complete answer. They'll give you the bit that makes them look good, but they don't tell you the complete story. That doesn't work with God. We have to give an account and we can't twist it. And so we all have to stand in his presence and tell him exactly what we've done with our gifts, with the blessings that he's given us. You know, I know I have the wonderful blessing of having Christian parents. Not everyone does. But I do know I have to give an account for the blessings that came with that. I know that the Lord's given me a lovely wife. Not everyone gets that. But I have to give an account for how I've loved her and how I've led her. That's the accountability side. And the list could go on. And I don't know about you, that shakes me up a little bit and shakes me out of my selfishness. It makes me appreciate what I have, because I want to be ready for those words when God says, Alan, what hast thou done with thy children? What did you do when it comes to your wife? What did you do when it comes to your ministry there at that church? What have you done there? You know, one thing I've noticed about those who get judged on earth is they're very sorry for how they acted on Judgment Day. Ever notice that? Like, the murderer is so sorry he killed that person. Or the person that got drunk and had an accident, they're so sorry afterwards. Or they're so sorry for how they stole these things. They're very sorry on Judgment Day, even though they're not very sorry when they're doing it. And I believe the reason for that is when they're doing it, they're probably not thinking about the Judgment Day. In fact, they're probably thinking they're going to be able to do this and get away with it. How many people steal and think they're going to get away with it? How many people go and get drunk and they drive and they think they're going to get home and nothing's really going to happen? They think they won't be accountable for their actions. But when they do get caught and they have to give an account and there are consequences, they all seem very sad. Just like Cain, he was a very sad man once God caught up with him. And you know, you may be here tonight and you know you're rebelling against God. But you may not feel very sad about that. You may know that you're too afraid or lazy to be serving the Lord. But you don't seem that sad about that. You may know God wants you to be doing certain things and using your life more wisely, but you don't seem too sad. But please understand, you won't always feel that way. I guarantee you live a selfish life. Come Judgment Day, when you hear those words, what hast thou done? There's not going to be a lot of joy. There's going to be sorrow. That's why we need to be living with the understanding that there is a judgment day where we will have to give an account. And I got to admit, that probably drives me more than anything, knowing that I have to give an account one day. Judgment Day came very quickly to Cain. Sometimes it doesn't come for a very long time to people. But there is one thing we all will hear: what hast thou done? From God, the one who made us. Let's live in the light of that understanding. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've given us clear warnings in your scriptures, that, Lord, we will all have to stand before you and give an account of the words and the actions and the thoughts and the life we've lived. I pray that may be a sobering reminder for us. And Lord, if there are changes that need to be made, we may do it out of fear and love for you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.